Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
What do we call this? Musical genius, right? What does Barry Manilow call this?
Spirit move me. Every time I'm near you.
Barry Manilow maybe calls it intellectual property when he's not thanking the ghost of Frédéric Chopin. The hit tune, Could It Be Magic, is based on Chopin's Prelude in C minor, Opus 28. Manilow made a bundle off that tune, but so did the Frédéric Chopin estate, or whatever it is that owns the Chopin copyrights. That's right, folks. Call Chopin a genius, the original pop tunesmith, the classical romantic sap, the man who defines 19th century piano music, but just don't call him public domain. You want Chopin music in your church fundraising video, your Hollywood movie? It's a copyright issue, folks. Even though he's been dead and gone low these 164 years, you still gotta pay. My next guest, Aaron Dunn, is on a mission to make Chopin IP public domain. The founder of MuseOpen, a nonprofit devoted to creating free public domain music resources, including recordings, sheet music, and educational materials. His new campaign is called Set Chopin Free. He joins us from San Francisco. Aaron, did I get that right? MuseOpen, or how do I pronounce it?
You know, domains are hard to come by, so anything works. MuseOpen is what I go by.
MuseOpen. Okay, that's what we'll call it then. So why are you... I actually had no idea that Chopin... You still have to pay Chopin. Who do you actually pay to?
Yeah, so this is what makes music copyrights kind of complicated. So all his sheet music is in the public domain, but the way that most people consume it and use it is from music recordings, which are all made from CDs or more modern recordings. So all of that is still copyrighted. So I wanted to do something that puts it in the public domain the way people actually enjoy and use it, which is as music, free music recordings.
So how has this non-public domain issue complicated, say, movie soundtracks? Barry Manilow did okay, but what is it doing to people who want to use Chopin music in their media of one kind or another?
I think it's less about what it's actively doing and what it's not. I think it makes it restrictive. And it sort of works against the whole point of public domain and why copyright law exists, which is to act as an incentive for the creation of new works. So if you never actually have an artist's output in the public domain, it becomes less useful for someone who's not Barry Manilow to go find it and use it. And online, people like to mix music, they like to edit it, they like to put it in movies. You would have to know, either get a lawyer or know how to work around copyright law to do that if you're, say, a film student. If you own a cafe and you want to play some music in your cafe, you're going to have to pay royalties. So there's a body of work that you don't need to do this for, and that's what MuseOpen works to help.
You've solved a mystery for me, why there are so few Chopin samples in hip-hop music. Actually, you haven't solved that mystery. Yeah, that's ridiculous. So tell me about this campaign. How are you using crowdsourcing and social media to try to solve this problem?
So this actually follows one of our first – this is on Kickstarter. We did our first one, which hired an orchestra to record a bunch of symphonies and release that music. This time we wanted to be more ambitious. We wanted to record the life's work, the entire life's output of a composer. And this is also an experience for us to try and explore how do you then represent someone's life's work, everything they've composed, the sheet music, the music recording. So the goal of this is to have the top piano players from all over the world record his music, give everything away for free with a public domain license, and then try and experiment on top. How do you visualize this? How do you let people explore it? We're going to have a listener's guide, which has information on every single piece. We're going to have an e-booklet for an iPad and other tablets. I think it'll be just a really interesting sort of belated birthday gift for Chopin's 200th birthday, which was only a couple years ago.
Now, of course, some people will say, birthday gift? You're giving my stuff away for free? He might be rolling over in his grave, right?
Maybe. I don't think he benefits anymore now that his music's out of copyright. If he were alive today, unless he were still composing, he wouldn't be making any money off his music. So at least this way we're in hopefully increasing the audience for people that could enjoy his music.
And the Polish government isn't going to come after you or anything, and some sort of national treasure law. right?
Oh, no. We've been in contact with him quite a bit, and they just had a huge bash party for his 200th. Free performances all over the city, really country. Anything that encourages people to listen, I think, just helps them.
Is there an ideological component to what you're doing here? I mean, do you have a broad sort of view on what should be public domain, how intellectual property of people who have long passed from this earth should be used by everyone?
Yeah, there's certainly a component which, and this speaks broadly to the sort of free culture movement. And if you're familiar with someone like Creative Commons, where they have sort of variations on just traditional copyright, we believe that art begets art. And when you restrict it, you restrict the ability for new art to exist. Composer and all his contemporaries stole from each other. They didn't have copyright quite in the same way that we do today. And so it just sort of goes against the tradition of how all this art came to be in the first place. So we just believe as long as we're consistent with the law, and this is sort of the legal equivalent of what people are used to, like a Napster or whatever people download music from freely today, this is the best legal way to produce public domain recordings of all this public domain art.
And who's next? I mean, what other composers would you need to move on and take a look at? I suspect they're probably almost all in the 19th century.
Yeah, there's tons. Actually, one of the reasons we picked Chopin is we would need quite a budget to try and take on a Mozart or a Bach. It would almost certainly be in the millions. And the goal, actually, I mean, everything, ironically, is going to be in the public domain one way or another. All the CDs that exist today will be in the public domain. The goal of this is to get some amount of this music in our lifetimes available so that we can use it and enjoy it. But Musopen was actually incorporated. It's a nonprofit to focus not only on music recordings and sheet music, but also music education. So I think some of the next projects we're going to tackle is how do we make music education itself freely available and more accessible to anyone?
How hard is it to get musicians to play for something that they'll never have any sort of ownership of?
Well, when you look at most of the musicians, either that contribute to Musopen already, or I believe that most that work professionally, very few make money off royalties. These are people in Hollywood that are making music for movies, and even those are getting outsourced to places like the Czech Republic, which records for computer games and Hollywood increasingly. They make money teaching and performing, and hopefully Musopen just draws in a larger audience and encourages more participation and shouldn't take away from any of the revenue. So they're incredibly willing. I just had a whole surge of people given this fundraiser, some related to people in San Francisco and large symphonies that want to contribute. They just think it's a great idea.
Well, Aaron, and I suspect Musopen isn't going to go public anytime soon, but thanks so much. We'll go out on one of the Chopin tunes that you've actually set free. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Aaron Dunn is the founder of Musopen, a nonprofit devoted to creating free public domain music resources. Next week, we'll be bringing you our interview with Supreme Court Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She may be the second woman on the nation's highest court, but Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg started out as a litigator, a strategic champion of women's rights who revolutionized our understanding of equal protection under the law.
I didn't change the Constitution. The equality principle was there from the start. I just was an advocate for seeing its full realization. The Declaration of Independence starts out, all men are created equal. So I see my advocacy as part of an effort to make the equality principle everything the founders would have wanted it to be if they weren't held back by the society in which they lived.
Justice Ginsburg on The Takeaway next week. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.